Like OLD. No embarrassment to the titles. I thought it was quite profound. I will send. It's normally, I will tend the poor and lame. But I think it's pretty amazing that it says, I will send the poor and the lame, because, you know, for years and years the church has been saying we must go to Africa and evangelise, and now Africa's saying we better go to the West because they need evangelism. How often do we think we go to help someone else, and when we get there we work out, hey, they're helping us more than we're helping them. So no embarrassment there. I think it's pretty awesome myself. We can go back to the slide if you like. It's sometimes nice to have those things happen and get us thinking. We're going to look at the first two readings, the Jeremiah reading and the Psalm, which we didn't have read, but it's in the bulletin there. And as we look at these two readings, I want us to think about, firstly, the character of God, and then secondly, our character, because I think both are here, and we'll do that too in a minute with the New Testament readings. But let's look at this Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah. In verse 5 it says, thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me? What wrong did your ancestors find in me? When's the last time you found something wrong in God? Where's our list of, God, you got this wrong. God, you didn't do this right. God, wake up. God, look what's going on. Usually when I think of how we describe God, it's all-loving, compassionate, forgiving, all-merciful, all-powerful, almighty, holy, righteous. They're the words that we normally use to describe God. There are times when we think, oh, surely God can't be right in this. But as we think and as we journey along, we realise, well, actually, God probably has got it right, and who got it wrong? Us. We want it tomorrow or yesterday, but God knows that maybe we needed more time to be developed and to see and discover who we are and what it is that God has before us. But here we have the people offended, if you like, at God. God has wronged them. And when we offend another, or when we're offended by another, what does that do? Push! It puts a wedge in the relationship. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I don't talk to them anymore. They're dead to me. Ooh. Or I've burned them off. Or speak to the hand. Or I've blocked them. You know, they're no longer my friend on Facebook or whatever else. When we offend, or when we're offended, we're separated from one another. And here we see in the next few words, the people are offended, or they think they're offended by God, and that has caused separation. They went far from me. They have separated themselves from God. And what have they done? They went after worthless things and became worthless themselves. So rather than chasing the one true God and sorting out whatever issues they had at that point in time, they went for something that was easier, something that they thought would give them the right answers they were looking for, but it was something that was lesser, something that wasn't the same value, the same worth as the one true God. And because they chased that, they themselves became that way. Not worthy of God. And he says, they did not say, where is the Lord? They didn't even search for the Lord. And in this reading and in the psalm, we hear they didn't recount who their God was. We hear in the psalm, in verse 10, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. It's a bit like, hey, here I am. Remember what I've done for you in the past. What I've done for you in the past, I can do for you in the present. And I can do for you in the future. Try to recount to them how He has delivered them in the past, and he's still their deliverer in the present. So when we sing our worship songs, when we hear the Bible readings, when we have the words of our service called liturgy, we recount these things to be reminded of who God is. That God is faithful, that God is our firm foundation, that God is our sure defender. He has been in the past, he is in the present, and he is for all eternity. That's why these things are important, to be recounted, recalled, to realign us. So when we start having, oh, is this God stuff real? You know, it doesn't sound like it. The media says that it's all a hoax of, you know, codswallop. And look at what the church has done. This must be wrong. We need to go back to God and see what God says and who God is. And hold fast to that. It wasn't just the ordinary Joe Blows of the Israelites. Even the priests in verse 8, the priest in that saying, where is the Lord? So you think, surely the priest would get it right. If someone's going to go searching after God, surely it's got to be the holy people, inverted commas. But they didn't even search for God. And then the prophets, instead of prophesying in the name of the Lord, start prophesying in the name of Baal, in the name of the false gods of which the people of Israel charged after. It's a catastrophe. And in verse 11 it says, has a nation changed its God? It's not just a small group of people, what we might call today a sect or a cult. Well, don't forget the Christians were called a cult at the beginning. A whole nation has changed its God, even though they are no gods. Even though they're not the real deal, this is what they've done. And it's all summed up in verse 11. For my people have committed two evils. Two evils. One, they have forsaken me. Who am I, says God? The fountain. The fountain of living water. A fountain, something that keeps going. A fountain, something that's beautiful. A fountain, something you can bathe in. A fountain, something that catches your attention. And it's not just water. What sort of water is it? Living water. This is the well of life itself. This is who I am, says God. But what have they done? Their second evil, their second sin is dug out cisterns for themselves. They've devised their own God. We don't like the real God. Let's make our own, in our image perhaps. One we can get along with that doesn't give us a hard time. But what's wrong with this system? It's flawed. It's cracked. It can't hold water. And what's more, the water that it holds isn't the living water of God. So, this is pretty confronting stuff, isn't it? The character of God, which is amazing, and our character, which often, when the times get tough or uneasy, rather than turning to God, we might find ourselves running away from God. Not just, you know, people who aren't God followers or God worshippers. These are God-fearing Jews. What's the message for the church today? Are we people who run towards God, or do we run away? Do we abandon our God? Has God wronged us because he's not following our plans, our desires? God, you got it wrong when I didn't get that Christmas present. My childhood. But the New Testament gives us a picture of the character of God in Christ. And the example for us of godly character. And I just turn your attention to the gospel for the first sentence, and in particular, the last part of this sentence. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, Now remember the Sabbath day, what do you do on the Sabbath day? Not too much. You just worship God. Jesus, remember, got in trouble a lot of times because he did the things of God on the God day. Now, come on, you don't do things of God on the God day, do you? Well, that's what the Pharisees thought. So what were they doing? They were watching him closely. You can feel their eyes. You can sort of see the area of the village. They're sitting down, sipping on their cappuccinos or their chai latte, watching. There he is over there. What's he going to do today? Who's he going to heal? Who's he going to touch? They were watching him closely. You can just picture it. But do you ever get the sense that you're being watched closely? That people are watching you? Because you're a Christian. So how are you going to act when someone's telling you off because they don't like something that the church has done, perhaps, or something that you've done, or might be in the workplace, might be in the family, you know? What's mum and dad going to do now that I've done this really bad thing? How are they going to act? People watch us and they wait to see how we're going to act. Lizzie, our second eldest daughter, had an 80th birthday party last week, and wasn't such a thing this time around, but I know, you know, 10 years ago when we'd had a family gathering, my family would be watching to see what I'd do. You know, will he have a bid? You know, will he have a wine? Will he have, you know, we'd like him to have a bucket load of it. But they'd be watching to see how I'd act. But now they know how I act, I think they don't worry about it anymore. They just enjoy themselves. But people watch to see how we'll act, what we'll say, what we'll do. And sometimes it's because they want to see us fall. They want to pop our balloon of religious and righteousness, you know, because sometimes they feel judged by us, so they're going to get a bit back perhaps. But people are watching us as individuals, in our workplace, in our family, on the sporting field. You know, if someone gives you a biff on the football field, will you biff them back? If someone gives you a bad call, you know, on the tennis line, that's out. Are we going to smash our tennis racket down and get a $10,000 fine or whatever? People are watching, aren't they? But people are also watching for the good things as well. We had an appeal last year for formal dresses and no one came. But this year we've had some students who are doing the Year 12 formal, Year 10 formal, and even a Year 6 formal. Wow. And people have donated beautiful gowns. And these people, a lot of them, they've been off the land, can't afford to spend a lot of money on a gown. And they've been blessed to come and get a gown. Now, when this went on Facebook, within 3 days, there was something like 5,000 plus likes. And now there's been over 10,000 likes. That's pretty mad, isn't it? People like to see us doing good things. And when we do good things, things that are Christ-like, people say, isn't that good? It honours God, doesn't it? These boxes up here represent the Solomon's Appeal, Solomon's mission trips next month. This month now, September. And you gave generously of sanitary supplies for ladies, flip-flops or thongs for feet, bras, educational supplies. All these things were boxed up. Our car was chockers to go to Orange, to be put in the container to go to the Solomons. Last week, I was able to go with the money that you donated to buy two brand new GPSs to go to the Solomons. Because when they do medivacs, it's walking through a dark jungle forest at night time and they get lost. Or it might be in a canoe or an aluminium boat on the ocean and they get lost. So these will help them to do it more effectively. A way of showing God's love to people. The community kitchen meets here on a Friday night. Christians showing love. Some of those people now come to our Westside Chapel service on Sunday nights. And they're part of that faith community now. We have the op shop. Sunday night, there's a bread run around town. People from the church take bread left over from a bakery and they take it out to the community. It's not always easy extending the love of Christ because it takes us out of our comfort zone. But when we look at Jesus, it's what he spent most of his time doing. Going to the poor, going to the sick, the lepers, the lame, the blind. And we might find it difficult because it's a bit scary, but his spirit compels us and his word in effect commands us or compels us as well to go and do that. And when we do that, it changes lives and it shines forth his character, his love, his grace and his goodness. When we don't do that, we're ripping people off and we're ripping God off. Because we're his hands and his feet. But when we do that, we're honouring him, we're glorifying him, we're witness to him, and we're continuing the work of Jesus. So when each year there's the service that Nick helps to coordinate with people from West Haven, it's blessing people. And guess what? If you go back to that song, if we aren't going to do it, guess who will? The lame and the blind. Why will they do it? Because they've experienced that healing love of Jesus. And we've experienced that healing love of Jesus, not to hang on to, but to pass it on. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these Bible readings this morning. They challenge us in different ways. But we hear words like, remember those who are in prison, as though you are in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though yourselves were being tortured. Lord, help us to have a greater empathy towards the need of others and their plight, their situation. Lord, we haven't been through what they've been through, but help us to try and put ourselves in their shoes. Help us to come and sit with them, to be with them in their time, to seek to show your love. And in doing so, may we both, may we all be ministered to by your love, by your grace, by your goodness. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray now for the Lord.